What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Dark Waters. I'm your host, Josh. It's Monday. Dude, I hope everyone had a great weekend. I know there were some big tournaments. I know there were some big wins. I know there were some local tournaments going on. I hope it was a great weekend. I didn't really pay attention much this weekend because I had my own shit to go through. I had a tournament on a local tournament here, on what they call Delta Lake. Dude, tough experience, man. Like, I don't know really how to gauge it compared to everything else I've done this year. But end up placing, placing third, cashing a check, and then I got the biggest bass. But, dude, my limit was only like 48 or 49 inches. Only one person got a limit, and it was just a weird experience, man. Like, all day, I fished like shit. I thought I was doing horrible, but when I checked the leaders board, I saw how bad everyone else was doing. I'm like, dude, this is crazy. I don't know if it was like a post-spawn blues type thing or if the fishery just sucked or what, man. But it was just, it was a tough day. I'm glad I was able to do what I did, but it was just tough, man. Let me know if you had an experience similar. I know I said something on Instagram about what's the worst tournament you've done where you've cashed a check, but, I don't know. It was a first for me, weird experience, but, Dude, much props to everyone that was on that lake with me. It was tough. I mean, you had to lower your head and just keep going. It was frustrating. I panicked fish the whole time. I had like just a few good moments, and that's why I caught what I did, but did not fish well at all. I lost my mind. I did what I normally do. I panicked, but whatever. It is what it is. But props to everyone that was there, man. I really do appreciate everyone who participated. I had a great time at the awards ceremony, drinking some beers, eating burgers with everyone. That's why I love the sport. You can have a hard day, but when you get back to the launch or get back to the awards ceremony, everyone's smiling and, hanging out and you broing out and shit. That's the shit to me. Man, not sure what everyone else. I mean, congrats to everyone that, who showed out at Possum Kingdom this weekend. That seemed like a hell of an event, but I'll get more detail. I really didn't pay attention this weekend. I was focused on my own shit, but we're in summer. Like, we're starting to get into summertime. June's ending real quick. I think my next big, I said I had a tournament next weekend, like close to the St. Lawrence River. Excited about that, but my big one's coming up, like my year-long big one, the one I've been planning the most for. Lake Champlain, Hobie's coming up here to New York, and dude, I'm excited about that. Drew Gregory's going to come up here. Mike Iaconelli, I'm finally going to get to have a beer or drink with Catherine Fields. I mean, hopefully right now I'm not sure. I think it wrote to like 25 or 30. Hopefully the Northeast shows out, because I know you guys have been bitching about it. You've been asking about it. You've been talking shit. Well, now it's time to put your money where your mouth is, registered, and let's have a big-ass fucking tournament. I'm excited about that, but I'm just rambling, guys. I'm sorry. We'll jump right into this. Obviously, I gotta thank my sponsors, my supporters. Sticks Fishing, love those guys. Those guys have done so much for me. I can't thank them enough. But dude, Sticks Fishing makes six rods to cover all your techniques and lures. To me, it's made fishing easier. I'm not one of those fishing rod nerds who, I'm not gonna pretend like I understand like the specifics of the things I need and blah blah blah. I don't know. I have an idea, and Sticks makes it easy. They made these six rods. They explain why they're good for this and that. And if you're an idiot like me, they even color coordinate and put numbers on rods so you know what these rods are capable of. Sounds like a cheat code. Dude, check them out, man. They got a 90-day try-em, buy them, try them. If you don't like them, you can send that shit back. But you're gonna like them. They're high quality rods. They're about $100 a piece, and why they're so cheap is that they cut out the middleman. So check them out. Use discount code DARKWATERS. Check out their website. They got great tutorial videos. Nick, the Informative Fisherman, Travis Moran, those guys have been in the industry for a while. They love the educational part of it, and so check them out. Use that discount code. It helps me out a lot, but I can't say enough about Sticks Fishing. Dark Waters is powered by Dakota Lithium. I don't know how that relationship started. Me and Craig Storm, we just figured out we live close to each other, and now we're fishing buddies. But I'm happy, man. Obviously, some of the best batteries in the game. Those lithium batteries are the shit. That power box, man. Holy fuck. It's my first thing in the morning. It got the light on it. I can charge my shit. I'm looking forward to taking that to Lake Champlain, because I'll be camping out. So I won't be having electrical outlets or anything like that. I'm happy to be on board with them. So make sure you check them out. There's no reason why you shouldn't have one, especially if you, you know, for your setups and things like that. So, Dakota Lithium, can't say enough about them. X-Zone Lures, been with them for 2 seasons now. Dude, their Adrenaline Crawl has done wonders for me this year. They got so many colors, but the 309 is my favorite. But, man, they make so many. They make so many good Ned Zones, you know, Finesse, Deception Worm, the Swammers. I mean, just, dude, they got so many colors. They're just awesome, dude. So check them out. Use discount code Darkwater, or I'm sorry, capital D, capital W, 15. Get yourself a discount. And last but not least, Rogue Fishing Company. I lost a good rod and reel this past weekend, and I feel like a fucking hypocrite because I tell you guys to invest in gear that will save your gear. I give you guys a discount code, and here I am losing my rod and reel in the water because I wasn't prepared. So don't be an idiot like me. Learn from my mistakes. Don't lose your rod. Don't lose your phone. Don't lose your plier. Don't lose shit. Go to Rogue Fishing Company. Find their lanyards and all their shit and just protect your gear. Don't ruin. Don't go home all pissed off because you lost shit because you didn't buy shit to protect your shit. I know. I just said a lot of shit right now. So, but anyways, Rogue Fishing Company. Use discount code DARKWATERS. You won't regret it. So thank you to all my sponsor supporters. I mean, you guys have done wonders for me. So that's it. My next guest is Ryan Matt. I'm not going to say his last name because I've already butchered enough last names this year. So we're just going to keep it to Ryan. Ryan's a Northeast angler out of Northern PA. I've met him a few times. I met him at Cayuga. I met him at Candlewood. But this guy's on a roll, dude. He's been – I don't think he finishes anything less than top 10 at any KBF event he's gone to. He's sitting up there right now in the top 10. He's just crushing it this year. And, you know, I was lucky to meet him and lucky he came on the show, dude. Like, dude, we were all over the place. I was just like machine gun shooting questions at him and he was just answering them. I mean, he did a great job. The guy's really cool. I had a great conversation. But yeah, man, check him out, dude. I got a feeling he's going to do some big shit this year. I mean, there's only a few more events in KBF left, anyways, and he's sitting pretty good. So, check him out. But yeah, guys, that's about it, man. I've already wasted like 7.5 minutes of your time running my mouth. So, message me, reach out to me, check out my sponsors, and my Patreon. I got one of those. I haven't been like very good with it, but, it helps the podcast, believe it or not. But, that's it, guys. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you later sometime, but, ciao. All right, Ryan, thanks for coming to the Dark Waters. How you doing?
Good, man. How about yourself?
Good, man. You're taking a break this weekend, I see. You're not doing any tournaments tomorrow?
No, nothing tomorrow. I have a wedding, actually. My cousin's wedding tomorrow, so different weekend for once.
Yeah. I said, you've been busy this year, man.
Yeah, we've been getting around. I mean, we were in Florida, South Carolina, St. Clair just this last weekend up there by you guys in Cayuga.
Yeah.
We did Lake George, or not Lake George, I'm sorry, Candlewood. So, yeah, we've been all around.
Did you do Cayuga?
Yeah.
I don't remember you being there.
Yeah, we did it. My buddy Nick did pretty good. I found something like last minute, so I started getting on the chatterbait everybody else was on, but
yeah.
Took me a minute to get on that bite. But
it was a tough bite.
I ended up getting a limit, you know, so I didn't do that. I think I was in the top 20% there somewhere, but nothing crazy. Yeah, my buddy did pretty good, though.
It's one of those bites, like, if you found it, like you found it. Like, it wasn't like everyone thought the whole lake was going to be going on, like, on fire. Like, no, I knew because, like, I'm used to the temperatures up here. I just knew that I feel like you're going to have to work really hard. But once you found out where they were, it's like you're going to find all the big ones. And I know that was like the one time where, like, you know, like home advantage does play a little bit. I'm used to fishing like those, you know, 50 and, you know, sub 60 degree temps that we, you know, that stay here until like mid May.
Yeah. They that was a first for me, man. I never fished for a largemouth on a northern lake. Every northern lake I've ever been on, it's always been smallmouth, you know? So like, that was kind of like my first deal up there. And, it was a good time. And like, it blew my mind with how fat those fish are. You guys have up there. Those largemouth, they're ridiculous, dude.
There's something different, dude. Cause like, I mean, like, I'm originally from Florida, so I'm used to, I know what a normal bass looks like. And I know what a normal big bass looks like. But, you know, I've been living up here for a while, and I've only been fishing up here probably like the last 3-4 years. And Cayuga is the only lake I know, like, where you when you catch the largemouth I was catching, I'm like, it was like these fish got an obesity problem. It's like they didn't have necks. You know what I mean? Like, they were just like they were just like this big mass, and like had a, you know, their mouth and their eyes. And I was like, but like, there was no long, like, you know, cause I caught like a, you know, one of my fish was like 18 inches, but that thing had to be at least like 6 pounds. Like, I mean, it was gigantic.
And yeah, fat. That's crazy. I definitely had fish that were like 15 inches that were definitely in like the 3.5-4 pound class. You know what I mean? Like, just like giant, like they literally look like blimps up there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's only like a few weeks of the year they look like that.
Yeah, it doesn't get like that around here with our largemouth, man. Like, I mean, like in Northeast PA where we're at, they don't really blow up like that often, you know. It seems like we actually have better fishing in the fall around here than we do in the spring. So
yeah, well, you got to come up here and fish the like the smallmouth up here, like the Great Lakes smallmouth that we have up here. Like,
yeah,
like those fish get so ridiculous feeding off those gobies. I mean, they haven't been, you probably have seen before, like, they haven't been eerie in places like that too, but it's just like, they're just so ridiculously big.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was like those St. Clair fish we were just catching last weekend, man. Those things were tanks. And, I was on spawning fish up there, but there were some of those fish that were like literally just like post spawn and still just like massive, you know. They were insane. Cause it was funny. Cause I was looking at, my buddy and I were taking like the pictures of the like same class fish from Candlewood and comparing it to like St. Clair fish. And it makes, like, even though they're like the same inch, they look like dinks compared to the St. Clair fish. Like, there's just no comparison. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a 19 inch like fish from St. Clair compared to the 19 inch fish you caught in Candlewood. There's just like no comparison.
Right. 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 Before we get like deep into conversation, just cause it's your first time on the show, you got to introduce yourself, kind of let people who like know who you are and that's kind of what you've done and what you do and shit like that.
Yeah, man. My name is Ryan Matalevich. I just started tournament fishing probably, I think this is like my fourth year now. I grew up like in the country up here, like Northeast PA, fished my whole life, but I was kind of just like a shore guy throwing like a worm along the docks, you know, my buddies drinking a couple beers, hanging out, whatever. And then, I got a little bit more into it. Like I said, 3 years ago, or well, 4 years ago, I started with like the Hobie events. I fished like two of them. One was, on St. Clair actually. And then I did one on Kentucky Lake where I got completely smoked on both of them. Didn't have limits. And it was just like, wow, this is like a total different game compared to what I'm used to, you know, on these big lakes. I'm like, what am I doing on this lake with a kayak? I'm fishing ponds my whole life. And now I'm like, oh, this is a massive lake. And I'm like, no idea where to go. And, but I liked it. It was just something about it. It just gave me that like adrenaline. You know what I mean? Like, I just really liked the whole idea of it all. And I'm like, shit, these guys are killing it. I can do that. I just got to figure it out, you know? And, it just kind of got me that obsession and just kept driving it. And then the following year I saw at that event in Kentucky Lake, actually the Hobie event, I saw some of the KBF guys, and I'm like, look, they have like a whole club of guys, like this shit's cool, you know, like what is this all about? And then I kind of started looking into that and got into KBF. So this is my third year fishing the KBF trail, you know. First year I just fished a couple events, second year I fished the whole trail, and then this year I kind of did the same. Well, I fished the Northeast trail, I should say, because that's when they had the regional stuff. And then this year I did the whole trail so far, with the exception of like those super far southern events.
Right. Yeah. So far the year has been good for you. Like, I mean, you're top 10 almost every single stop on the KBF trail series.
Yeah. I mean, I've been combination of like, just like over obsession and luck, you know, is really what it is. Like, just really studying the shit out of stuff and then like getting like no sleep at night. And, like, I was whipped after St. Clair, man. I got 2 days of pre-fishing up there, just 4 days, you know, and I think I averaged like 3.5 hours of sleep per day, you know. So it was just between like everything and the getting shit ready, trying to figure stuff out, looking at the map, like arguing with myself all night long, trying to figure out where to go, you know, just making those kind of moves. And it's been panning out, you know. And there's a couple events that didn't, where midday event, you know, I just go out to the deep blue seas trying to figure something out. It usually just turns out to a flop, like what the hell am I doing here? But this year it's been turning around a little bit. I've made some big crazy runs and it's actually panned out. So it's been pretty exciting, you know. The only regret I had was Florida this year so far, you know. It was my first event of the year and I thought it was starting off on a bad foot because I just did not do well down there. I didn't get a limit on the first day, so I ended up leaving, because I was in the temptation and stuff, but there was like a big snowstorm that came through at like the same time up in the north. And I do like commercial snow removal and excavation. So I just said, all right, well, this ain't working out. Like, I just flaked out and took off and ran home. But yeah, Florida didn't work out, but everything else so far since then has been really good to me.
Yeah. South Carolina look is a pretty good event for you too. I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, I was looking at your stats and I was like, geez, this guy's, you know, getting the top 10 or cashing a check in almost every single event that he's been at. I mean, that's good stuff. I mean, like your name's on that big list of 10 people who are doing really good this year.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. But I mean, it's so nuts though. Like that's why I'm humbled by the fact that it's cool. I have that little bit of vibe, like, you know, like having that little bit of spotlight right now. But in reality, man, that last event, the way things work out with like that last big event at the year, like the end of the year, like it can change everything, man. There's guys that me in 30th place ended up in the 10 house, you know? So it's literally anybody's game at that last event. So it all comes down to one. And that's where I'm already a nervous wreck at that. And I didn't, yeah.
I wasn't even thinking about that. Like, I mean, not to take away from like your progress, like you are who you are, but you know, like that list is like some of those guys didn't make it to Candlewood and some of those guys didn't make it to, St. Clair because they were down in Texas and things like that. So that shit's not set in stone.
And even if it does, dude, like, look, these guys get like they get a couple first place finishes, whatever, you know, like it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Like Brandon Bissell, man, he had two first place finishes up there at St. Clair. Like, good for him. Awesome. You know, I think they were his first two events of the year. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's 2-100. So he can literally just go pick up one decent one. That's another person out of the 10, you know, like as far as the top 10 goes. But again, realistically, you can take the top 30 guys with all like similar finishes to where I'm at right now, you know, and it all comes down to that last event. You can finish as many events as you want, but you can't get any better than a certain level. And then it comes down to that last event, you know, and that's really what it adds up with like the points in the half and the 9-point decrement as opposed to the 6. Like it can literally just change the whole thing.
Yeah. What do you think about, like, I didn't know how I was going to feel about it, but I kind of like it now. Just where I'm at as an angler, but like having like that Saturday and that Sunday event. At first, I didn't like it. At first, I was like, well, why don't we just have 1 2-day event or something like that? And then, like, you know, I went to Candlewood. I'm like, dude, that day two made me feel a lot better about myself because day one was.
Yeah, hey, look, that's just it, man. I mean, it's kind of a funny dynamic because when you really think about it, the 2-day event format, like, it kind of like got at me Messalonsky for last year for like the Northeast event that we did up there for the Northeast Regional Championship at Great Pond in Messalonsky. I ended up getting a win on day two and I got second place on day one. So for a combined total, I got second place. But I really didn't get anything for the first place finish or the second place. So it was okay because I still got the money, but you can get double the cash now with that single day opportunity, you know? So if you go up there and really pound on them, you can win 2 days and get twice the money. And like, that's a huge benefit, you know, as opposed to like just getting one check. But yeah, all the stuff they're doing now, where they're having, I think there's a couple events coming up. I saw Chad talking about and different things happening where, they have an event where it's going to be, it's kind of like what they did with the Florida event at the beginning of the year where you can fish the 2 1 days, but you can also pay an extra amount of money and then go in for like a super trail kind of tournament. You know what I mean? So you pay like three entry fees as opposed to two, but then like you're getting like your 2 1 days and then a combination of the 2 days. And it's crazy because like somebody can like get first place on day one, first place, a different person first place on day two, and neither one of those good guys could be in the first person for like the combined total because it's a total different thing, you know? Because I'm like, model to that. My camera's a little blurry. I don't know what happened to that. But usually I go out and like I do well on the first day and then like I just fall off the map on the second day. So that's been like my curse. You know, like
that's why I kind of like it. Cause I mean, like, don't wrong, I love the Hobie. Like they're like that one, like that one event, it's 2 days long. But I also like having different options. You know what I mean? Like if everything was the same, then it would just there would be diversity. And I like the fact of having something where You can like go, like, for one, it's like, for us, a learning curve. I mean, like, if you can't survive a KBF event for 2 days, like, don't, I mean, like, think really hard about going to a Hobie event. Like, it's a different beast. But I mean, it gets you ready for something like that. But it also, like you said, instead of like one big check at the end, you have the opportunity for, you know, the money to go around a few different ways, depending on how the 2 days play out. And not that I don't like either one better, but I do like having like the different, you know, dynamics or whatever, or, you know, the choose from, you know, because I mean, like Candlewood helped me out a lot. You know what I mean? Not as far as points, but just as far as like confidence and wanting to do this thing longer than, you know, because at the day one, I was done. I was like, I was to the point, I mean, I'm going to sell this goddamn kayak. I'm going to get rid of these goddamn poles. I'm never leaving the state of New York again. You know, and then, I got myself, you know, I started thinking about, okay, it's just fishing, relax, go out tomorrow, have a good time. And end up, you know, placing top 20. And I'm like, okay, so you got to have like these different things that kind of like, it builds you up. That's, you know what I mean? That are just different. I mean, you know, I couldn't imagine like paying all the money to go, because I'm going up to Champlain at the end of the month. You know, pay all that money, the traveling, the tournament fees, just to screw it up on day one.
That's it, man. You just
eat shit day one. Because yeah. I'm coming home. I'm not fishing day two if it's a complete
right,
shit
yeah. I mean, it's like
I'm going home and I'm going to spend Sunday with my family. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's the worst thing about it, man. And I fished a couple Hobie events last year. I don't have a pedal kayak right now. I just have the autopilot. But like I fished a couple Hobie events and that was just it. And I think the real difference is like with like those, like when you go to fish a tournament in general, like you go to like either win or be consistent, you know, like there's kind of like a different strategy between the two. You know, you look at like a Zaldane, like he goes out throwing giant baits, like with no intentions of getting seventh place, eighth place. Like he only wants first place or he's fine with 50th, you know, like it's just a matter of like the mentality you have. And with those Hobie events, man, you literally, in my mind, you got to just look for that 85 inches, you know, like that 80 inches, you just got to find that consistent play where, you know, you're going to get the fish. You know, you go on like looking for a frog bite where you're looking for 5/18, you're getting like five bites all day long. I mean, that's great if you do it, but I mean, the likelihood of you doing that 2 days in a row and getting 10 fish, I mean, it just doesn't happen. You look at the Susquehanna Hobie event, and there was a lot of guys that had four fish that were big fish, like 18s to 20s, and they just didn't have that fifth fish for the bag. And I mean, at that point, you might as well have a bunch of 14s in your bag, you know? Like, it's
yeah, that's a good point. I wish you would have said that, because you're like, now you're fucking with my plan for. No, you're absolutely right. Like, it is a difference, right? Like, a 1 day tournament, go big or go home. But in day two, like day one, doesn't matter if day two doesn't produce well. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's it, dude. Like day one, you do right. So like you go into day two with a limit, right? You get 80 inches, like you're still like in the bottom 30. Well, now you can go hard and still have a shot at the thing, you know. But if you go hard on day one and you fall flat, like you're just like done. You know, you got to go home. Like it's just
So, I mean, yeah. I mean, that's the difference. I mean, it's like I kind of like having a clean slate come day, and everyone has a clean slate come day two at a KBF event right now. You know, like day one, no matter how good, no matter how bad you do on day one, day two is a completely new event. You can go in with a different mindset and try to win a term. And like I said, I don't think either ones are better. I was just curious, like, because like when I was first thinking about it, like, I said, oh, this sucks. This is going to give someone, you know, an extra day to get better and kick your ass on day two. But then now that I've experienced it, I'm like, I'm glad I had that day two to.
Well, hey, look, for that, I think what's to be said, man, that they may really makes a big difference is that KBF, like they changed it with the sense that you have to sign up now before day one if you want to fish day two, you know. So that's kind of cool, because like if they didn't have it that way, you get all the people that get close or getting the money, and then they're just like fishing against each other at the end with like 10 people in a tournament that could have been 60. So because a lot of people will only choose to sign up for the one and the switch. So being you have to sign up for both of them, I think it makes it interesting, makes it fun, you know. And then even if you do strike out on day one, you still have a shot at day two. So to answer the original question, like if I had to say what was my favorite, I would probably say I like the 2 1-day tournaments as of right now. But I'm also understanding that, like, when you look at bigger level stuff, like I'm considering doing some boat tournaments and some bigger things as well. Like I see that, like, you kind of like – when you if you go into professional fishing, eventually it's really is that consistency game. When you look at like Bassmaster, MLF, like any of the other things, I mean, it's that 3 day consistent deal that's what wins the tournament, you know. I mean, it's just not a 1 day blow up, you know. So so I don't know, they both have their place, they're both fun, and I really think that it's a good thing that they're both doing something different, because it adds diversity across the whole board and gives some people the chance to do different types of things and see what they enjoy more, you know.
Yeah, and that's what I think. Like, if you're gonna have three like tournament series that are kind of like the top three series, I want them all to be different. I don't want any of them to be the same. So you have you know, something different, some kind of different experience. Because if everything was just like a 1 day event, if everything was just a 2 day event, not that it would get boring, but I mean, like, what would be the point of going from one to the other? It's just gonna be a lot of time. I like, you know, like I don't know. To me, like being a, like as far as like being like a what are called intermediate, like trying to get, you know, a better angler. I like having like something that's going to prepare me for the next, or one that's going to like have some kind of, like right now, the KBF event kind of benefits me more because it's two separate. It's, you know, like it's just, you know, I'm doing two events, separate events, and I'm getting a lot of experience on both days compared to just getting your ass kicked at a 2 day, you know, like I said, having options, I think, is the key right now. If you're going to have like three big tournament series like we have right now.
Right. And that's what you just said. I mean, like, especially for these guys that that are just like trying to get like better at it and do the different things. Like, it's a real, I think it's like a big deal for like the 2 1-day tournaments. Cause like you said, you're not out on day one. You can go try this strategy that you think is going to work for you. And then if you skunk or like doesn't work out right, like you can like completely change your style up and end up on a different part of the lake and have a good day and still crash a first place check. You know, like that's just not possible in some of the other series. So, and a lot of times these guys, and here's one thing I like too, is like the average dude that wants to go fish a tournament, right? You go fish. Some of these guys that work Monday through Friday, they don't even have a chance to pre-fish these things. You know, like I didn't pre-fish Cayuga. I just went up and fished the thing. That morning I got up there and just fished it, you know, but, no idea where I was even launching. So I'm like, all right, this looks good. But the whole point is like, if you're doing that, with that type of tournament, you go to a spot for a new guy that just goes up on day one, that might be his first pre-fishing day. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't have the shot, and then he figures something out that was just a little too late in the day. And now he's a shot to actually win the thing on day two, you know? So that's something that's special, I think.
Right, right. Well, cool, man. Let's talk a little about the Northeast for a little bit. Like, where are you at right now? Because, I mean, you've just done, you did the Candlewood. You did St. Clair. Dude, I'm in a weird place up here. Like, I got a tournament tomorrow, and I don't really have a plan. I've caught fish there, but it's just like it's I don't know what they're doing. I can't tell if they're done spawning, if they're already post-spawned, or get ready to go in the summer activities. I have no idea. Like, it's just been such a weird few weeks because we had such weird weather up here. Like, what have been your thoughts lately? Like, I mean, it's just I don't know. It's tough fishing right now. But then again, I find fish up shallow. Like, I can't tell if they're on beds. I can't tell if their garden's dry. Like, it's a really weird time right now. And I feel like it was kind of like that in some of the other like the last few weeks. I just don't know really like how to gauge what the fish are doing right now.
Yeah, I mean, as far as if it depends on the body of water, I'd say firstly if it's clear and you know and you can actually get up and stand up and like be able to like sight fish a little bit and see what they look like they're doing, that's good. But that's really water clarity dependent. If it's like some of those glacial lakes, the nicer lakes up north, you can kind of see what they're doing. But from my take on most of the bodies of water I've been fishing, I think like Candlewood, when we fished it, was a while back already, and that was a like right towards the end for the smallmouth spawn. But the largemouth, when we were there for that event, were just moving up, in my opinion. The largemouth, I saw a lot of them were just like kind of pairing up, and like the largemouth were just starting to get up onto beds. And one of my big fish in Candlewood, I saw it the first day, and then the second day I went and ended up catching it. But the largemouth were just starting. So I think there's still some largemouth spawning. But I think for the most part, the smallmouths are on the tail end, or if not completely done. St. Clair was the smallmouth were getting done on some of the main lake areas, but there's some colder water areas where they were just starting. So it really depends on like water temperature. You know, I mean, if you're finding like some of those lower temps, like you can still find some of those spawning smallmouths, but once it starts getting up there, towards 70, I think that you're pretty much not finding that, you know? So, I think then you're going to the points and looking for the river, like the secondary points on the way back out to the main lake and kind of trying to find those. And then, ultimately they just end up in the main lake, kind of cruising around, in my opinion.
Yeah. I'm in a weird spot because like, I like to stay shallow in the grass. I like to follow the fish that follow the bluegill. And it just seems like it's like there's been a pause on that. I see bluegills starting to move up. And I see them getting on the beds, but I'm just not seeing the other fish coming up right now. So I just don't know. It's like they just now come off beds. You know, our water temps is between like 72 to 75. I'm like some of you guys should have done a while ago. Like there should be more.
Yeah, I still think the largemouth, like I said, they were just on the tail end of it. So I think you still can find some largemouth on beds. And I think once they're getting done with that and they're coming off, they're like beat up, you know, and just like laying there suspended, half dead for a while before they decide they want to start feeding up again. So, I mean, I think it's right around the corner, and probably can that grass bite and like the frog bite, everything is like right here, depending on you. Like with those water temps, I think it's going to be happening, like popping off here anytime pretty quick. You should be able to start catching them on a chatterbait, I think, and a frog. And
so I was at Oneida Lake, which is one of the bigger lakes or more popular lakes up here in upstate New York. But I was fishing shallow. I was trying to find a grass bite because there's grass there. It's starting to mat up. I'm like, it was like, if you see it, you got to throw a frog or you got to start, you know, doing what you got to do with those kind of conditions. So I'm like not getting anything. So I start moving out and I get to like, the 8 to 12 feet and the grass is coming up, but it's not all the way to the surface yet. And I'm looking down and I see largemouth like suspended, like in that grass, probably like suspending it like 8 feet. Those are the hardest fish. They're the, like when you see them because they were big, but they're the hardest fish to catch.
Yeah, they won't eat, man.
That's I threw everything you could possibly throw. You know, like, dude, I was throwing with Cinco's, everything, like trying to get a slow drop, trying to get a fast drop. But, dude, like, when they're in that zone, dude, they want nothing to do with anything.
That's it, man. I mean, it's kind of like when they're spawning and you see two fish on a bed, like, rubbing up against each other in that pairing mode. Like, they won't bite anything you throw in there unless it's a bunch of treble hooks. You know what I mean? Like, they're not biting shit. So, they're just it's just that weird thing, and I think you gotta, like, not get caught up on that thing and kind of look for some that are a little further along, you know, because it's not gonna happen. So, is that, what lake are you fishing at?
It's a smaller lake. It's called Delta Lake.
Okay.
It's a perfect kayak lake. But, like, it's like my thing is, like, when you get into, like, these times of the year, what do you want to call it? You know, the post spawn blues or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, what do you want? Like, what do we want to do? Like, there's a lot, the best advice someone ever gave me is, like, if you see fish on beds, you can turn around. There's a lot more fish behind you than there are on the beds right now. But, you know, like, trying to find a bite and trying to find a winning bite, like, you know, like, you're trying to win a tournament. Like, what do we think about? What do we go for? Like, how do we figure out what kind of bite we're going to go, you know, like, look for? I mean, because even at that point, even the offshore bite, because, like, the fish are going back out deep to recover from, you know, the beating of spawning. So it's kind of like, how do we bank on, like, trying to find the big fish? You know, like, what are some of the things you think about?
I think something I've been thinking about more so kind of goes back to that two-day approach. Like, I'm looking to find a limit as quick as possible.
Yeah.
So, like, ignoring the size and just kind of try to find out where I can get five fish in the boat. So whatever, that's the first thing I'm looking for when I go to a tournament is, like, just trying to catch a fish and find out if I can catch five fish. Like, cause if you can't catch five fish, like, the big ones don't matter, you know? So, so I try to do that. And a lot of times, like, I'll catch those fish and I can see that I'm catching them. And then you still have to try and pull away, which is also tough because you're getting bit. So, you know, like, okay, but they're not the right caliber of fish, but at least you have a bag, you know? And then you can kind of pull around. So that can help you hurt you. But, I think the what you really got to look at is, one, if there's multi-species, like if you got smallmouth and largemouth and the largemouth are in a funk and they're not biting, I'm going out and trying to target smallmouth. So I'll get more finesse baits kind of going in that approach out deeper water and secondary points coming out of the spawning coves. Start trying to pick up on the smallmouth. If it's a largemouth only lake, it's again kind of a similar pattern, but I'll be looking with, like, more of, like, a light presentation for, like, those funky fish on the secondary points coming out and trying to find the ones that are a little further along. If I can't find those fish to bite, like, I'm looking and trying to, like, pick bones, looking for the leftover spawning fish that are still up on bed or they're still there, you know. But trying to find, like, it's kind of, I look for either, like, post spawn or still spawn, you know, like that, like in the middle range, like on the way back out, like they're zombie fish in my mind, and like they're real hard, real tough to catch a lot.
Yeah, so I'm like, I'm gonna wear a space, like I'm gonna post this next week, so no one's gonna know exactly what happened on this lake. But it's like, you know, I did my pre-fishing on Wednesday, and it's just like, I'm like you, like I know I can get a limit, like, you know, I saw the fish, like you got those, like those small ones that just hang out, you know, close to, you know, just shallow. I'm not sure if they're guarding, like getting ready to guard fry or what, but they're so easy to catch. Like, I mean, like they're in like 2-3 feet of water. You throw a Cinco and you just wash them aggressively. And I'm like, okay, I know I can get a limit, but you know, I don't want a limit. I want to win this thing. So it's like, you know, trying to figure out, like,
is there grass in there? Like, is there like good grass and like stuff up there? Like frog material?
This is a good lake. It's got, anywhere from a frog bite to, and this is it's a small lake too, which is really funny. It's a small lake. It's got everything from like a shallow frog bite to like kind of like an offshore smallmouth bite. So it's very, you know, because I tried both, and I was successful, you know, finding some largemouth, and I found a few smallmouth. I found some like transition points from like grass to rocks, and like, for some reason I was finding smallmouth out there, but it's just like, but still like nothing is going crazy right now this lake, and obviously this was like Wednesday, so I don't know if things are about to change, especially as we get closer to the next, I don't know, moon cycle, whatever you want to call that.
Right. Shit. I mean, it's that time, man. If it's June right now, and it doesn't matter like north or whatnot. If you're finding, if you have grass and like kind of like those like pads or those type of areas, like it's real tough for me on a largemouth lake where I know they're in there eating that way. Like, especially on those smaller bodies of water. Like, I'm locking a Senko and a frog in my hand, and like I'm beating the hell out of both of them.
And then that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I look at the body of water. I'm like, because you know, like the biggest thing I look for is grass and bait fish. If you know, if I can find that. I feel like there should be. I mean, like there should be something there, and you know, it's where you go. Like the grass is starting to mat, especially real shallow, starting to mat up a little bit. Yep. I had a few blowups from the frogs, but nothing. But it wasn't like even early in the morning, there was nothing like exceptional about the lake. It was just like, you guys are You guys are gonna be weird this Saturday, aren't you?
Dude, a lot of times I'll like slow roll like my other back up there between the Frog and the Senko would probably be the Chatterbait might be a little aggressive if they're not like super feeding. Like I'll roll like the Kitek, you know, like on a weightless belly hook or just like roll like slow roll that Kitek through the weeds. Like that seems to kind of get those numbers in those places too.
Yeah, then that's kind of like what I like to do as well. Like I like to find the current where it's coming through the grass. And then I'll throw like a weed list, and that's kind of what I did. And like I said, I had success, but it's nothing. But it wasn't like a great day. Like, you don't want to go on the Saturday feeling the way I feel right now. Because here's the thing though, it could change by Saturday. I mean, this was I pre-fished Wednesday. A lot could change by then, but still, at the same time, it's like I couldn't figure out where the fish were as far as the pattern. So I imagine it's got to be like a post spawn type feel. If it's gonna be that tough, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I seriously think that, I mean, this time of year, you like that. It's kind of hard if you find the right fish throwing like a hollow belly frog, not to get him to bite it, you know. And like, especially if it's not a super pressured, like it's just a silent killer. Man, I had frog bites. I think it was like up here. I'm in like Northeast PA, and the water temps were like still in the 40s, and I was like catching them on a frog. You know, I got like a 21 inch on a frog. So like. They just hate that thing, you know, like that just attracts the big ones in my mind. It's just, it goes down to that whole thing. Can you catch five of them, you know? But if you can catch five little ones on a Senko, like it's, and you know, you can get a bit on a frog and you got the confidence just to work that thing. I mean, that thing just gets monsters.
Well, let me ask you this. So tournament, are you throwing a frog? Is that, cause like, no. Like this is the first year. Cause like I got really good at the frog last year. And even this year, about a week ago, I just tore him up on a frog. I'm like, dude, like you know how to throw a frog, Josh. And so I'm like, maybe that might be your thing, because you know I'm looking at Lake Champlain coming up, and I know where the mats are. And I'm like, that might be your thing. You might be punching and frog fishing to try to win these tournaments. But at the same time, I know that my hookup ratio, my fish to boat ratio is a lot better with a chatterbait, a lot better with a Senko. That's a lot of work with a frog sometimes. I mean, like, some days you can get like, I don't know, 20 fish, but sometimes it's like five, you know, like all day you might get like three blow-ups. I mean, like it's one of those things, like tournament, like do I really want to throw a frog? Am I really going to bank on that? Because like it's one of those things also where I feel like if you're going to fish the frog, you really got to commit with the frog. You've got to throw it 100 times, and you've got to piss them off. You got to watch them blow up, throw it again only to get disappointed, to go find another. I mean, like there's just so much shit can go wrong with a frog.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it, man. I would say that I haven't really fished lakes that I thought had the right opportunity to throw that frog in a tournament setting. I just haven't been there. The only one was I tried throwing that frog like crazy at Gunnersville last year, and it just didn't work out for me. Backfired hardcore. Like, I just couldn't get bit on it. And I ended up catching a couple fish punching, which just was like super uncomfortable for me, because I'm like from the north. I'm like a finesse fisherman, you know, like I like to try and play. Like I go to like the small backyard ponds and like act like I'm like, you know, like a superpower fisherman, like just ripping frogs at fish all over the place. But then like in a tournament setting, you know, I just like put my finesse rod back in my hand and just sit there. It's just, this is what I do, you know? So I would love to be able to say like, yeah, I can go out there like Bobby Lane or Chris Lane and go out there and just like smoke fish and on frogs, like in the middle of a tournament. But I haven't done it yet. I'm not saying that you can't do it and it won't happen, but I think in the right body of waters, especially with some of these smaller bodies of water, the frog is the juice. But I think it's a lot of these big bodies of water. I just don't think I've been somewhere where it's been set up just right for the frog yet. And if it was, I missed it. So
yeah. Yeah. So I think about that too. Cause I mean, I am a Northeast guy, but like we got grass lakes and like, Even our friend, like Cayuga, that area we fish, like this time right now, it's all grass. It's all grass.
Yeah.
It's a grass fishery. But then again, I also know that it's got deep waters. It's got access to deep waters. It's like, are the fish really going to hang out there? You know, like, I mean, like, I know some do, but I catch them there. But like, is it worth banking on? Because we're not, these aren't shallow lakes. These are fisheries that have largemouth and smallmouth. You know, so there's an offshore bite, there's a shallow bite, the frog bites. It's like, is that something you really want to bank on to try to win a tournament? Are you thinking that the 20, 22 inch fish are going to be up shallow when they can be deep and the food's just as plentiful as it is, you know, shallow?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be for me personally, being completely honest, I mean, if there's a chance I can win something with smallmouth, I don't even look at largemouths. Like I don't ever. I just don't do it. I mean, I'm just like that guy, you know? And I went there and like, to put like a good example of that though, like where it doesn't work out. I mean, you look at last year at the Super Trail, like that Messalonskee Great Pond event. I was fishing that, and I was up there, and I got second overall for the event. And the guy in first, like he literally was just throwing, was catching largemouth, you know. And he got, I think he had like 6-7 bites all day long. I lost by a quarter of an inch. And the funny thing is, he like I said, he had like 6 bites. I probably caught like 52 smallmouth that day. So it's just like I was up getting quarter inch and a quarter inch and a quarter inch, you know, and just I couldn't compete with some of those 20. I just wasn't finding the right 20s, and they were there too, just as much as the large, but I just didn't get them, you know. But like for me, if I'm going out fishing, one, it's a tournament, I'm serious. Obviously there has to be a chance for me to win, but at the end of the day, when I compare the two, if I can catch 50 fish in a day versus like 5 fish in a day, like I'm going for the 50 fish in a day. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like I kind of agree with that, because that's how most of the people up here fish. But like, I think it depends on like, I don't mind fishing for smallmouth. I don't like doing it. I love catching them. They're my favorite fish to catch, but I don't like fishing for them, cause there's a lot of work that goes into finding a good smallmouth bite up here. Like you'll spend a lot more time graphing, than you will fishing, trying to find them up here. And that's been my problem. When I went to like Lake George to fish the tournaments I've done there the last few years, it's dude, if you don't get like a few days to get out there and really go out there and graph the lake and find them.
Yep.
I don't know. Like, to me, like going on a smallmouth bite, I gotta feel confident. Like to me, largemouth, even though I might not have a great pre-fishing, I know how they live. I know where they live, and it's easy to find out. At least go hunt for them. Smallmouth, like dude, like, if you don't have a plan, like you're just fishing blind. Like you're just trying to.
I think I'm traumatized with that though, man. Because like you say, northeast, everything's northeast. They think about like Cayuga, they think about Oneida, they think about all these lakes, right? Like I live by like Lake Wall and Paul Pack. So like our lakes, like up here, and then we have like Lackawanna State Park. We have like some other smaller lakes. They are literally, I don't want to say just like the fish are assholes, like straight assholes, man. They just do not bite. You know what I mean? They eat once a week, and it has to be the right flavor. That's it. You know what I mean? It's just like you. It is just humbling to try to look and try to like go to these lakes. Like I don't even know the way to put it in words. Like I come back and try, I can't even go fishing at home after fishing like Cayuga and then St. Clair and stuff. I come back home and it's like slumming it hardcore, you know,
it's bad.
It's just not great fishing. So the largemouth around here, we're also, they stock the hell in Pennsylvania out of like trout. So they just literally feed on stockies. Like all the big ones are feeding on stockies, the largemouth, all on most of our bodies of water all the time. And they just have to eat one and then sit for a week, then eat one, then sit for a week, you know, like, so you got to catch them on like big swim bait, stuff like that. So there's giants around here for sure. But they're not easy to catch. Like to go out and catch like a bag, like a high 90s bag is like, you're doing something good, you know, and it's doable, but I mean, it's not like it's nowhere near something like Cayuga where you had like a, what, like 10, 15 people in the 90s, you know, that'll never happen.
I don't even know if anyone caught any smallmouth at Cayuga while we were there.
Oh yeah. I didn't see any. Oh no, I think someone was talking, like there was one big freak one that was caught or something. Like they didn't win or they were like in the mix or something.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. Cause like my buddy Bailey, who runs the Serious Angler podcast, that's what he chases. He chases smallmouth, and he knows Cayuga Lake. Like when I saw he entered that tournament with us, I'm like, well, that's it. We've all lost. Cause he's the only person, like he knows that lake. Like he knows the spots. He knows, like he goes out there. He's been graphing it for years. And so he goes out there and completely just fucks it all up, you know, and I almost win the tournament, and all I do is fish largemouth and grass, and what little grass there was. And that's just like my thing. It's like, I just like, you know, when it comes to like the chasing smallmouth for a tournament, it's like, I feel like you have to really, I'm also talking about like, I know not every smallmouth fisheries are the same. Like, you know, like I don't even think like St. Clair doesn't even remind me of all the stuff here. To me, it seems like smallmouth are pretty easy to catch there, but like up here, it's like, you've got to go out there and graph and find them to and you know, like spend a lot of time offshore to be able to, like to bank on like a limit like that. And it's been like my problem over the years, like, you know, like especially when I was at Candlewood, like everyone was talking about like the smallmouth bite there. I'm like, I only got 2 days to figure this out. I'm gonna go try to find a largemouth.
Candlewood for me was straight bedfish, man. They were on bed. That was just it, you know. So I struggled a little bit. Day one, I did pretty good. Day two, I don't even remember what the exact places were, but day two, I was just outside the top 10. Day one, I was in the top 10. But day two, I started out on fire, man. I went over to a spot. It was the worst thing, man, because the boat tournament was getting ready to take off. They're literally sitting in the boats, and some people may know where this is, but they're all sitting in the boat singing, like, are doing like the national anthem and everything, and they're all standing up there, and like they're getting ready to blast off, dude, and I'm like 50 yards from them, and like that's where that one like big largemouth I talked about earlier was. And I went out of there, threw a Senko, and first bite, dude, hooked onto it, because I marked it the day before and it just wasn't ready, and I pulled it in and they watched, and it was like a, I forget, that one was like a 21 and a half inch largemouth. And then I casted again, like after they all looked, they're like, oh, what the hell? Like they're all kind of like looking over there. And then I casted in again and caught a 19. Like this is like just after first cast, you know, like right in the morning. And then, I had both those fish right off the get go. And then those boats like completely raided the hell out of the cove I was in. And I had like some other stuff there and I just watched all my fish get thrown in live well. So I was like, damn it. You know, I just wasn't quick enough, but that crushed me on that day. And then by the time I got to want to go to the other spot, that overcast ship blew in, and I just had no chance. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't find nothing. I was just blind casting, and my day just went to hell pretty quick. So,
dude, I will never fish a tournament at Candlewood during the spawn ever again. I'll fish any other time of the year, but the spawn, that is like, because you know, I got there early. I got there, I think, Wednesday. I pre-fished Wednesday afternoon, Thursday, Friday. But every day the lake was different. You know what I mean? Like I found the winning fish. Every day I found a winning group of fish just on beds or whatever. And every day I come back to check on, they'd be gone.
Yeah.
It was just one of those tournaments. It's like, they're just like, you couldn't bank on anything. Like the only thing that I thought I had figured out was like, if you could find those fish that were spawning deeper, they were kind of like spawning like outside or inside, man, the grass pine, like the 8 to 5 feet. If you could find those, you had a chance of winning, but the problem was that the pollen was really thick, and if you didn't find them before 8 o'clock when the boats were, or 7 o'clock when the boats were released from their tournament, dude, that lake turned into a washing machine, and you couldn't see shit. Like so like half the time I was fishing blind, hoping I would just run up against an angler bass on a bed.
It was just heartbreaking because I caught those two fish because I knew they were there, and then I had other fish that I like. Conan actually was talking to me, and he passed right by me, and like he was talking to me, and right in between us, I'm like, dude, I see some fish here. Like, I don't know. And like, I found in that 8 to 10 foot range, cause it was just crystal clear. And like, I was, you know, you like, there's certain directions you could see it. Like, it's almost like a portal opens up and you can see everything. And then like something just like 1 second goes by and you look, you're like, wait, where the hell did everything go? You know, it just all disappears, you know? So I went over to do that, and then I started across the lake, and man, someone pulled in on them fish and like literally caught like all of them right in front of me, because they must have had figured it out they were there too. And that was just heart-wrenching, man, because I feel like I had a shot to really win on day two. Day one I had a 19 and a half jump off, which would have like, I think was big enough to put me in third, but jumped right off the board on me, so I got a different net, needless to say, after that, because I got sick of that shit real quick. And then but no, like you said, it was just once that pollen blew in and the washing machine started, it was just like, it was tough at that point. I mean, if you didn't have your fish by 9 or 10 o'clock, you were kind of screwed, I think.
Yeah, you're struggling. All right, we'll talk about a little bit about your what's coming up with you, and then we'll wrap this thing up, dude. But dude, like, you're sitting in the top 10, you're looking good, like your name's in that list, like everyone who's sharing shit in their stories, it has all those names, your name's on there. What do you look at now? Like, what's your approach now? Like, you can't miss another KBS event. You can't miss them because you don't know who's going to do what.
Yeah.
And you have to, dude, you got to maintain.
Yeah. I mean, I was looking, because I just like those upstate smallmouth. I was looking at going into the Hobie event, but I mean, I kind of crossed that off my list. I was going to go up to, one, I don't have the pedal kayak right now, but I was going to try and figure something out and head up to Champlain. But I think that one's out for me. Right now I'm going to try and take my next weekend, a couple weekends from now, I'm going to head up to East West Harbor and do some free fishing up there and try and get on something to figure it out up there. And then that's probably my next event. But I mean, really where I got most of my research and time going into right now is just trying to figure out like those southern lakes and like where the national championship is down at Caddo. You look at that and it's just, I mean, just endless amounts of cypress trees. I have no experience down there, and it's just like, it's like my nemesis, you know what I mean? So like right now, like my mind, that's where my mind's at when you ask, like my mind is at like, what am I going to do? Like trying to get as much research in and time and trying to figure out like those lakes. And like they do in those southern events with the volume of anglers for the NC being mixed in, you have multiple lake opportunities too. And when you don't really know the different lakes, it makes it even that much more challenging, because you could put in a week of pre-fishing on one lake and not see it all and miss the juice. But like, so to try to pick which one you're going to spend the time on and where you're going to go, I mean, that's really where I'm spending most of my time right now, trying to narrow down which one I'm going to go to, you know, with a mix in of going to hit that East West Harbor event because I don't want to miss it. And that's probably the last KBF event I'll fish this year. I don't think I'm not going to make it to Clear Lake. A little bit too much of a haul for me. And then Kentucky Lake would have been the last one. So I think for me, like this season, if you guys are checking it out, like it's really going to be coming down to East West Harbor. You'll see me out there. And then you're going to see me again down in obviously for the National Championship Trail Series Championship, Challenge Series Championship, you know? So I'll be down in that event. And other than that, it's going to be just, I'm part of like the Pennsylvania Bronzebacks team. So at the KFL stuff, we'll be fishing some of those games locally. I mean, my boys are fishing the one tomorrow on the Susquehanna. So that's kind of interested to watch that at the wedding table. You know, I'll be watching them guys fishing live. Yeah. So that'll be pretty fun. But so that's kind of like what wraps up for me, man. So really, I'm just super blessed and happy at this point just to be able to do what I'm doing and be out there and going and fishing this stuff, you know, and be in place where I am with a real shot at getting into that 10 house, which is the ultimate goal. So I'm just going to keep my nose down and do everything I can do to try to make that happen.
So does anything change if East West Harbor doesn't work out very well?
I don't know, man, because I'm pretty comfortable. I mean, I have a second, a third, and a sixth right now. So really the sixth, like if I could get like another second or a third, you know, it'd bump me up there. But I mean, we're talking like 12 points of difference for like me to jump up multiple positions. When you break it down in the national champion or with the 9-point decrements, I mean, even if I went up to like first place, it's only a difference of like a position or two. In the final event to really make a difference. So it really comes down to that. Like, as long as I feel comfortable, you know, I know it's my last shot. So a little nervous. I want to see how that event pans out. And I'd have to try and tell you that it's going to really depend on if anybody comes out. As long as nobody comes out of the woodwork on East West Harbor and people come storming up the leaderboard, right. And I'm feeling pretty comfortable, you know, I'd like to bump up another position. But I think it's like next spot up for me is like a 4-way tie, you know, for second place. Right. So it's like, if I can get up into that and make it a 5-way tie, or maybe even take that one spot, like just to try to make it happen, I'll feel good. And I'll have to really kind of pay attention and watch. And the cool thing with Fishing Chaos is being able to see that right, like real time, you know, you can go into like the look at the leaderboard and see for the club tournaments and see your AOI points, like real time. It updates like during the tournament even. So that's just cool. I'll know right there immediately at the end of the event, what it's looking like. So I guess, as of right now, I would say it's maybe like a very slight chance that I would end up at Kentucky Lake, or definitely not Clear Lake. That's just not happening. Yeah. I'm dropped to California.
I don't think anyone even cares about Clear Lake. Except people who care about Clear Lake. I mean,
yeah. So like not doing Clear Lake, Kentucky Lake. I mean, that's a haul and a half too. And I mean, honestly, like those lakes scare the shit out of me. And like, I'm just going to go get beat up by those Southern guys. Like I feel a little bit more comfortable with my waters up here. You know?
Yeah. Dude, like the whole current and ledge fishing. I'm like, what? Yeah. What's that? Like,
yeah. So, and you watch on TV, those guys throwing like those giant mega spoons. I'm like, dude, I would have like no confidence in that. Like zero. I have one in my tackle box. Don't get me wrong. But it's like one of those lures you tie on. You're like, yeah, I'm going out ledge fishing. You throw it one time. You're like, fuck this thing, dude. I'm not doing this shit. Like, back to whatever. So,
okay, so you're not doing Champlain probably. Are you going to do the Susky, the Hobie event on the Susky, by any chance?
No, I don't think so, man. I would like to just because it's right here. But, I mean, I have my fiance and stuff. She wants to do some vacations and stuff too. And, like, we have the truck camper and we want to get around and do something. So I think I'm just going to kind of lay low. I mean, I've been kind of jamming fishing down every weekend. And I also bought a bass boat that has been sitting in my garage, like, literally covered in dust this year. And I want to go out and play on that a little bit, you know. And thinking about doing – some of the Bassmaster Opens next year in like the northern section. So I'm thinking about taking my boat up to your parts a little bit to try and check some of that stuff out up in Cayuga and like checks out like Oneida and some of those lakes this summer. That's kind of like what my plan is on any free time I have.
Oh yeah, dude, definitely. Like I live 5 minutes from Oneida, so.
Yeah, my buddy's up there right now. Actually, he just left. I think he's probably there now, so he's going fishing there tomorrow.
Okay, cool. All right, man. So, well, that's about all I have for you tonight, man. I just wanted to first time on the show. Like I should have had you on a while ago, but.
It's all good, man.
You know, it is what it is. But, man, dude, you're kicking ass. You're taking names. Good luck with what's coming up. I'll also be following you. But I'll probably see you at one of these tournaments here.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, well, we have that other one, right? I mean, that's a good probability that I may end up doing that one Elite Series event. The Kayak Elite? Jason Gardner's deal.
Yeah, Elite Kayaks.
That one was a pretty good time up there, man. I had fun at Cayuga, so then I might end up going to that Paul Pack one's right in the backyard here. So that's only like 40 minutes away from me, so I may end up over there.
Okay, cool. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on the show. Dude, have a good night, man. Enjoy your wedding tomorrow, and I'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Take care.
All right, bud.
See you.